All right, Revelation chapter 1. I always feel like I should do a review, and it sort of kills me because it ends up taking up a little bit more time than I would like. But I just think we need to keep the flow of what we've seen and heard going. So turn to Revelation chapter 1. We're just going to highlight and remind ourselves what we have seen. Of course, we have focused heavily on this is the revelation of Jesus Christ. This is the heart of God. This is something He wants you to know. It is for your benefit. It is evidence that God does not withhold from you. Chapter 1, John turns and sees the glorified Jesus, and he's overwhelmed by this. And I think it's sort of a foretaste of what's going to happen to us someday when we turn and see the sky recede like a scroll, and we see the Son of Man coming in all His glory. In chapter 2 and 3, we heard the seven letters. Seven letters, like every other epistle in the Bible. You and I turn to the book of Ephesians, and we preach and we teach out of it as authoritative for this generation, even though we know the apostles sent it to a group of believers living in Ephesus centuries ago. We take these same letters in the same vein, though they may be addressed to other churches. Like all of the Word of God, it has application for us. And so, along with all the speculation about why these seven letters, at this time it's just important just to receive them as being to the body of Christ, and we're a part of that body. Now, I do believe that down the road, there may be more understanding come forth as to why these specific seven churches, but time will have to tell. Chapter 4, we were invited into the throne room. We met the angelic beings. We met the 24 elders and the four living creatures. Chapter 5, Jesus goes, receives from the right hand of the Father the scroll with the seven seals. He begins to break the seals, and as he does so, he begins to execute the final phase of God's plan. He is going to bring to completion this great plan of salvation that God has given us. And as rough as it may seem to us, as difficult as some of those days may be, if we truly want to see Jesus as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, we have to hear those words, these things which must soon take place. God says this is an integral part of the plan. It must take place. So, again, our response is faith, not fear. We say, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Do what you have been assigned to do, and we will praise you for it. Okay, we get to chapter 6. He opens the seals. We see the anti-Messiah, or the false Christ, come forward. We see wars. We see famines. We see the four great sword judgments, the sword, famine, plague, and the wild beast. The fifth seal, we see the murder of the saints of God. Probably that will be happening all over the world. If you are courageous enough to go out into your street and proclaim that these things are happening because God is a just God, you are probably going to irritate your neighbors. It's real easy for us to stand back and watch a cataclysmic catastrophe of some sort hit a communist nation or some other godless nation and say, yeah, boy, they deserve that. You know, those godless communists. Well, let me tell you something. God is no more impressed with godless communism than He is godless democracy. And we are just as guilty and just as worthy to be judged as they are. And it's going to be a very difficult time when we have to stand amongst our neighbors and say, look, this is terrible, but this is deserved, and God is just and holy for doing it. So you can understand why we may not be real high on people's popularity list when this begins. Number 8, we come to the day of the Lord. The sixth seal. We come to the day of the Lord. That chapter ends with a question. The great day of their wrath has come, and who can stand? Chapter 7 answers that question, and we took time last night to discuss the 144,000. Let's pick up. Now we're into new material, and we're going to read about the great multitude in white robes. And I have to be careful because one other time I referred to this as the great white multitude, and I'm sure that some of my ethnic brothers and sisters probably would not appreciate that. So this is not the great white multitude. It is the great multitude dressed in white. Okay, let's make sure we understand that.